Hello and welcome to our Revive service. It's good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Hesketh. This week, Pastor Aaron writes, "When someone suffers a broken bone and they go to the hospital to get it checked out, depending on the type of break, the doctor will need to reset the bone back into place. In the medical world, this is called a closed reduction. As we view stewardship, what should our thoughts be based on? We may need a reset in our thinking to be biblical due to a broken way of thinking. Worldly thinking can so easily creep into our lives, and it can shatter us from living the way God desires. The commitment to biblical thinking is manifested in holy living. Without the proper mindset, we cannot expect to be stewards that will please God. May we set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Colossians 3:2. Here is Pastor Aaron.
Well, good morning. Good to see each of you here this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and open with me to the book of Colossians. Paul's letter to the believers, the brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Paul writes this. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3 this morning. And there's no insert, just to listen this morning. Sitting in our Logos class, which I put a little plug in at the end of last week, and I'm put another plug in. Logos class, 9 o'clock, there's something for you, all right? It's great. It's a great time to study, sitting in with Ray this morning, and I've been flopping back and forth between the two classes. And just the reminder of here Israel was listening to Ezekiel, God's messenger, and they would hear what he was saying, but they wouldn't do anything. And I think that would be a big tragedy today. If you walk out of here and we just meet together and you walk out of here and you don't listen to what God has to tell you and in some part of your mind and your heart, you're not changed. Because every time we come before God and we come before His Word, we should be changed, right? I need transformed. I need changed. I'm changing as every day goes by. A little bit less hair, a little bit more gray in the beard, a few more pounds it seems, all right? We're changing, but I'm not talking about that change. I'm talking about the change of looking more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the change that we need. And there is a world that is screaming and hollering and looking for something that is real and authentic, and God's called us to be that. That's why we're still here on this earth. I believe that with all my heart. That the moment that we accept Christ as our Savior, the reason why God doesn't just immediately call us into heaven is because He wants us to show Jesus to others. He wants us to live out what a life, what a relationship with Him looks like. And I don't know how you're doing, but there's times where I do really well, and then there's other times that I don't do so well. And so this morning, I want to challenge us as we think about stewardship and as we continue in this series to think about how do we look at our lives? How am I viewing and living every day as God's steward? How do I see it? What am I looking at? What am I focused on? And so Paul's going to write, he has written, and we're going to look at it here from chapter 3, where we can set our eyes, where we can focus on. And so will you bow with me, and we'll pray and ask God to come and meet with us, and then we'll read this passage in Colossians 3. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, January 13th in 2019. Lord, to be able to humbly come before your throne and to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to do that with your people. And Lord, how awesome it is to join together and to lift up our voices together, to praise you together, to fellowship together, to know that we're not in this journey on this earth alone, and to know that we'll not be alone for all of eternity too, Lord. And yet help us not to be content with just worshiping you here, to not just lift up your voice, but to listen and to hear your voice, Lord. May we hunger and yearn for your Spirit this morning to speak to us. And I pray that we would have ears that listen, that you would help us to understand, that you would prick at the core of our being to seek after you. And Lord, we can say that, and it's easy to say, but Lord, I pray that as we think about some real areas to live this out, I pray that you would help us to do that. Challenge us, convict us. Convict us of the sin of where we have become self-focused and self-righteous. And may we be people who come repenting and turning from our sin, knowing that there is a gracious and loving God who desires to forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. I pray that you would give me your words, that you would be honored and glorified, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 17. If you don't have your Bibles, you can pull it up in the pew Bible in front of you, or it is up on the screen as well, and you can follow along. Let me encourage you, those of you who have ears, hear. Right? Do you know what I'm saying? There's only one little boy that was born without an ear, and he had one, and the doctor gave him another one. That's Logan, by the way, if you didn't know. All the rest of you, I see you with two ears. So hear. Hear this morning, not from me, but from God. Let's read Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's a rich passage, isn't it? What's interesting is Paul's writing, we have divisions and breaks, like we have chapter 3, verse 1. But originally, this is a letter that doesn't have all these divisions. And so as Paul's writing this, we kind of jump into the middle of his letter. And so we start off chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, if then you have been raised with Christ. And I want to take us back just a little bit. And if you look in your text, verse 20 of chapter 2 says, if with Christ you died. And so Paul is building upon this idea that we as followers of Christ, if we died with Christ, we've been raised with him. And so we've been given a new life. And we see that throughout the New Testament as we think of the baptism. And Paul talks about this in Romans when the significance of baptism showing the belief and following the one who died, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. We've died to ourselves, and we are no longer alive to ourselves, but we've been given a new life. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. And so when we look at this idea of stewardship, not only are we not owners of what God has given us, but we've been given something, and we have made a decision, a choice to follow Jesus Christ. And in following Jesus Christ, if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, the one who died, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, it is, Paul says over and over again, it's like we have died. We've died to the old self, and we are something new. And what is in us is not of the world. And so Paul begins here, and he says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, where he's seated at the right hand of God. Again, proving the victory over sin and death, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. He conquered. He didn't stay dead. He conquered. And so we can look to the one who's victorious, and we can have victory in this life. And he says this, set your minds. So he says, seek the things that are above. And then Paul uses another term, set your minds on things that are above. So seeking is in the future. This is something you are to pursue. Set your mind is right here, right now. This is something in the Greek. It says mind the things. The word for set your mind is this is done. This has happened. You need to put your mind on things above. And one of the reasons why I didn't give you any notes today is because this is the whole thrust of the message. If you walk out of here and you don't get anything else, this is what I want you to get. Our mind is to be set on things above. The way we think, all that we process through, how we make decisions and choices, it is not to be about the earth and how we can move ourselves forward. It is to be that we are there with Christ, seated on the right hand with him of the Father, and we are seeking what God desires, not what I want. And so when we look at this text, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Is that a challenge for you? That's a challenge for me, because there's a lot of things that I like. And that doesn't, let me be clear, that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the life that God's given us, okay? That doesn't mean we can't enjoy his blessings and how he desires to bless us. And that doesn't mean that we're just pawns just living and God just moves us wherever he wants us and I don't have any choice or any decision. No, there's a very direct decision that we will put our minds, that we will seat our minds right with God. But in doing this, there is something that takes place as we envision ourselves to have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That I am not going to live, and I'm not going to pursue life the way the world pursues life. Everybody else in the world is going to live a certain way. They're going to pursue. They're going to act a different way. They're going to think a different way. They're going to do things in a way that may not be what God desires. And yet what we have done in the church is we have said, you know what, we want to love people that we rub shoulders with, and we want to minister to them, so we're going to live where they're living. We're going to act like them. And I don't think we consciously, maybe some did, but I don't think overall people consciously were saying, hey, I'm going to live the way the world wants to live. But it has infiltrated us as followers of Jesus Christ. We are no longer distinct. We're no longer set apart like Christ was set apart. And that distinct word is a word in our Bibles that's called holy. To be set apart We as Christ followers, what sets us apart from everybody else in this world is that we have our minds fixed upon one thing. And it is things above, not things on this earth. Paul goes on and he says that he gives hope. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in a way, he gives hope. He says, listen, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. It's like Paul saying, listen, you set your mind up above, pursue these things that God desires, and I want you to know it's not for vain, because when Christ comes, you're going to be in his glory. Sometimes we live life so narrow-focused, right? I remember thinking and dreaming about what my life would be like when I was a little boy. And one of the things that triggered this was just a few weeks ago. I was looking in the basement, and I remember getting for Christmas an old Nintendo, my brothers and I. And it was like the original Nintendo, and we were so ecstatic, and we got this Nintendo, and I got one of the coolest games ever. And it was Al Unser Jr.'s Racing, because I wanted to be a race car driver. And every time I turned that game on and I sat there with the remote, I thought, yes, I'm one more step closer to being a race car driver. Am I a race car driver today? No. No. That was a little bit too loud, Zachary. Sometimes I act like it when I drive. Mama doesn't like that too much, but I'm not a race car driver. God didn't have that for me. But in that thinking as a child, I was thinking like a child, and I was thinking and dreaming and saying, man, if I could only do this, if I could only have a go-kart that would help me to learn to drive. And then we got this old truck that somebody gave us, and so we would drive that around our yard growing up. That's where I learned to drive. And then pretty soon I got brave enough, and I got in trouble because I took that truck out on the road. And, you know, just real quick, a trip down the road and back, it was no big deal. I was 14. I already knew, which I would not advise, especially when your grandmother's in town from California, because she loves you, but she's going to tell on you. I thought like a child. My perspective was so narrow focused. We as Christ followers, we must get over the focus of this and here and now, because we are not just the flesh. We have all of eternity. This is our soul that we're talking about. And our soul just doesn't live here and now. Our soul lives for all of eternity. But how many times do we live here and now, and we make decisions focused upon what do I want now, or what's this going to make, how is this going to make me happy, or what do I desire to do? What's going to help me get ahead, or I really need this, or my friend has this, so I need this, or I don't have this, so I must not be successful. And so when we view stewardship, we've got to see it from the eternal perspective, that you and I, we're not just here to get a lot of money so that we can support missionaries. We're not just here to fill up the pews and to live good lives. We're not even here just to impact people so that they can live good lives. You and I, every single one of us, are living life here on this earth, and we're to be dead to ourselves, and we are to be living with such a way that our minds are connected to the mind of God. How does that happen? Well, if you desire to know the mind of God, you've got to meet with him. And you've got to work in that relationship. And coming once a week to a service to learn about him isn't going to be enough. That's a beginning. That's a start. That's a help. That's a refresh. It's a little snack. It is us meeting with God every day. You say, oh, here he goes again, Pastor. He's going to tell me I need to read my Bible and pray. Yes. Here's the struggle that we have. We don't think as God would have us to think today. We have a world view about how to live the Christian life. We've lost sight of what it means to live a biblical, God-honoring life. And the only way that we're going to get back to that is by us continuing to teach the Bible and for you individually to study it and to be in it and to meet with God and say, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me today? How would you use my life today? Am I honoring you? Am I pleasing you with my life? The end of this section, as we said, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you living life in such a way that every decision, every choice that you're making reflects Jesus? And if it doesn't, and you know it because the Spirit convicts you, then you need to make a change. Who can make the change for you? Can I make a change for you? I can change the temperature in here. All right, I keep it a little cool just so you'll stay awake. All right, I can change the temperature. I can change we could change the appearance. I can change external things, but I can't get into the secret places of your heart. I can't get into your mind. I can't get into you to change you. And so the only way that change is going to take place in your life is if you surrender your mind and your heart and you surrender it to God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've said, I believe that Christ is my Savior. I believe that Christ died for me and that he rose again 3 days later. God, I believe that you've given me eternal life in heaven. So why would you and why would we desire to say, okay, Jesus, I'll believe you for my eternity, but I will live life how I want to live it right now? What is that? What kind of life is that? Selfishness, is it not? And we are self-focused people. So how does this change? Well, Paul goes in and he gives some description of what to put off and what to put on. And he tells them very clearly, listen, some of you were involved in this and you need to put it off. You need to stop acting this way. And it's not just his actions, the actions of the early believers here. He also gets into some of their motivation, some of their heart, some of the deeper things of what's going on in their mind and their heart. And he says to put these on, the compassionate hearts, the kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, because Jesus has forgiven you. If you've ever been hurt by somebody, would you raise your hand? Somebody ever hurt you? Okay. A lot of us have been hurt, right? It's amazing to me how much we struggle to forgive people when we've been hurt. I've struggled with that. But when we look at not everybody else and not just the world thinking, but when we think as Jesus thinks, when we start thinking and think, okay, how would Jesus deal with somebody who hurt him? That's biblical thinking, right? How did Jesus deal with the people that hurt him? This is the amazing part of what I go back to. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, as he was being accused before he was whipped and scourged, as people were accusing him of false things, how did Jesus respond? In silence. And before he dies, he says, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Imagine if we start doing what the little wristbands and the little saying back in the day. What would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? But I think it's got to go beyond that. Because it's not just us doing it. It's having our minds set and focused on the truth of God. And so when you look at how that spills over to stewardship, it will have an effect on how you use your time. And that's why I said from the very beginning, would you be willing to give God the first 20 minutes of your day? Maybe you don't have 20 minutes, maybe you have 10 minutes. You have some kind of minutes throughout your day that you can give over to God. Seek the things above. So that's time. How are you spending your time? Is it about you and what you want to do and how you desire? Or do you ask God with a perspective to say, God, who would it be that you would want me to minister to? How could I minister to somebody and use my time today? Because we've all been in a place where we've been hurting. And so maybe God wants you to go and minister to somebody who's hurting. Maybe that's writing a letter. Maybe that's a phone call. Maybe that's a text. How are you using your time? How are you using your treasure? See, when our mind is set on things above, we change the mentality of getting more here. Because we realize this is so temporary. When our mind's fixed upon things that are above, we desire to use the treasure that God's given us for his purposes and for his glory. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy nice things, but it changes us. For me, it's changed. I grew up with not a whole lot. We always had what we needed. We never knew we didn't have a whole lot. I realized later on when I went to college and some of my friends had a whole lot more than what I had, and they were going out to stores and the malls and stuff, and I'm like, I'm just a poor college student. Like, I got 50 cents. Got a gumball around. You know, like, I remember going to the mall and getting a gumball out of a machine, and that's all I could afford. That was all right. But I began to quickly process through and to say, how do I desire life? And it's funny because at certain points and certain times we talk about different occupations and what they get paid and what's going on. And I sometimes will joke and say, man, I'm in the wrong profession. Maybe you've said that before. Ah, man, I went in the wrong profession. Why is that? Because we think in some way that money will help alleviate some of the stresses in our life. Where I believe that if we have our mind focused on Jesus Christ, if we have a godly focus, a biblical focus of stewardship, that we'll look and view stresses in our life as, okay, God's growing me, and he wants me to learn. One of the things my dad always told me, and I remember this from being a runner, I remember walking away from a track meet, and we were in the car, it was just him and I, we were driving home, and I was feeling pretty good because I had just won the mile and the 2 mile, and I kind of walked away, and I'm like, yeah. And I think my dad kind of sensed that, and first thing he said is, Aaron, you need to take a shower, you stink. Second thing he said, listen, I want to tell you, he said, you did a good job tonight. He said, but I want to tell you that there's always somebody better than you. There's always going to be somebody faster than you. So don't stop working. Don't be happy with where you're at. I think that goes into play with our lives. And because we talked and we discussed a little bit more in that car. And he said, Aaron, I just want you to know there's always somebody who has it worse, too. And we are privileged people. You know that? As hard as you have life, and as difficult as things are in your life, whatever struggles that you are going through right now, and some of them are life and death struggles. I understand that, and I'm not trying to minimize that. But I am telling you that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, are extremely blessed. We are privileged people who sit here today. Do you believe that? Do you view your life with that kind of lens? I hope you do. We are blessed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are blessed because God has told us that He will give us everything that we need. Not everything that we want. He has blessed us in saying and promising that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so saying that He will never leave us, He'll never forsake us, how do you put together that with children or with others who are sacrificed, who give their life on account of their faith, who are starving and who don't have what we would say is their need? I believe Jesus is speaking to the very heart and the soul of a person. We have the greatest thing that we'll ever need. That's the hope of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you would look at your time, your treasure, and your talents with a view that says, you know what, I've got to think out of this world. I've got to think the way God desires for me to think. I've got to set my mind on things that go beyond whatever this 80 or 90 years that God may give you here on this earth. That says, what about my life will live on? What goes with my soul for all of eternity? So that when we live, we can live in such a way that says what Paul is saying, be thankful. He repeats it several times at the end of this passage. Be thankful. Sing. Admonish one another. Lift each other up. Encourage each other. Because we are blessed. Whatever you do, word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Set your mind. Make it firm. Set your mind today on things above. And may we allow God and His Spirit that indwells in each of us, may we allow His Spirit to speak to us. And let's watch and see what He does. Because I believe that if we do that, we will start to see that we become distinct, set apart from the world. When we pursue God, we become holy because His Spirit starts working in us. Don't get discouraged. Be thankful. And that's the great part about coming and worshiping together. We're not alone. We have other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who are going through the same struggles. They might not look identical, but they're struggling and they're wrestling with living this life on this earth with a view of eternity. But God, help us. May our minds be set. I gave a picture there in the paragraph in the bulletin. And I really believe this is where we're at in our church, but in the church in America. And it's this. When you break a bone, and I've only broken one bone. It was my big toe when I was playing frisbee. And yet I know there are others who have broken their bone. And if you break a bone and it's a certain kind of fracture, they'll try to reset that bone. And so when they try to reset that, they want to put it back into place. And sometimes they can do that without doing surgery. Other times they have to go in and do surgery. I wonder, though, when we think of this, when we look at this passage, set your mind. Is there something broken in our hearts and in our minds and how we view our lives? Is there something broken in how we see that we're God's stewards? And we need God to reset us, to reset that brokenness, and to get us focused on where our minds and our hearts can be healed and be the way he desires for us to live. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to worship in the reading of your word, in the listening. As you're sitting there this morning and you've heard the message of setting your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, maybe there's something you need to confess to God that you know isn't in line with what he desires of how you're living your life. Your mind has not been set on things above. You've been pursuing your or somebody else's desires. And so today you confess that. Maybe you're sitting and God has brought to your mind something of how he desires for you to use your time, your talents, your treasure. And so setting your mind on God, you want to use those for his glory. And so maybe sitting here, you need to commit to doing that and using the things that he has given you for his glory. And maybe you're sitting here and you have no idea what God desires, but you know you need to set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth, and you don't know what that looks like. I would just encourage you to pray and say, Lord, I believe that you sent Christ. I believe that he died for me. He raised Christ from the dead. And I know that I've died with Christ and I'm raised from the dead. And so help me to seek you. Help me to set my mind on things that are above. Help me to see what that looks like as I live life this week. For each of us, I believe it begins with our time with the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to make that a priority of our lives this week. May we not find peace or contentment until we find it in you, Lord. And I believe, Lord, with all my heart, because I live it and I experience it, Lord, you give great peace and you give a contentment that this world cannot. And so I pray for us as a church that we would do that. That we would be people who think biblically, who have a perspective for eternity, that we would set our minds on things above. We need your help. Help us to be all in, Lord. Help us not to ride the fence and desire to be half heaven, half earth. But Lord, may our minds be in heaven and use our hands and our feet on earth, Lord. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.